It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
Welcome back, my friends, to another installment of the podcast that we call, what's a very original name, The Chris Van Vliet Show. Thank you for downloading this episode, and I gotta warn you, it might make you a little bit emotional. I mean, if you watch Being the Elite, you know exactly who Brandon Cutler is. Chances are that his story has made you a little bit emotional before, you know, the episode where the Young Bucks offered him a contract. One of those situations where it's like, I'm not crying, it's the allergies. It's really dusty this time of year. So Brandon does a great job of diving into this story, but in a nutshell, basically, he left wrestling. It was his dream to be a pro wrestler. He left wrestling for 7 years. Came back, was traveling with his childhood best friends, the Young Bucks, was shooting Being the Elite for them, and when they started up AEW, kind of their way of saying thank you to him was by offering him a job, not just as a wrestler, but also an executive to create content. He explains it in a great way, but it's just a story that makes you realize that hard work pays off. And I love that. I also love these five-star reviews you've been leaving, like this one from Tommy Alaska, who has the headline, Chris Van Vliet, like MJF says. That's his whole title, Chris Van Vliet, like MJF says. And yes, that's what MJF calls me. What a nice guy he is. Here's what it says. I'm new to his show and podcast. I found him a short while ago when I viewed his interview with Chris Jericho in the back of a car. I decided to dig deeper, and I found myself subscribing. Keep up the great work, Chris. Well, thank you, Tommy Alaska. Very nice. Keep these reviews coming in. And it's so funny, that Chris Jericho interview, people talk to me about that one all the time. Obviously, the content of it was really interesting. It was, I think, the first big interview Jericho did after signing with AEW. But also, we did it in the back seat of his car. Not by design. We just did it because that was the most convenient place to do that interview. So thank you. I'm going to keep reading these reviews on here as kind of a way to encourage you to leave these reviews. I mean, the podcast as of today is officially 2 weeks old. I'd say we're off to a pretty good start. So thank you for being with us on this journey. We couldn't do it without you, and we couldn't do it without our sponsors. So the Chris Van Vliet Show is brought to you by Green Roads, and not all CBD products are created equal. I mean, we've heard a lot about CBD. For a while, the CBD boom is happening now. Everybody thinks they have great CBD products. A lot of them are actually not very good at all. Some of them don't even have CBD in them. Green Roads was formed by pharmacists. It's a pharmacist-founded company, and they're dedicated to improving the lives of everybody who takes it. People like me. I take their CBD oil, super easy to take, under the tongue, and really just kind of helps just ease my day, just kind of take a little bit of the stress off. And I've been, well, this interview, for example, is a great example. You know what I'm saying? It's a great example of that. I was actually at a wedding the night before in Cincinnati with my girlfriend. I knew this interview with Brandon Cutler and the Young Bucks was happening early on Sunday morning. So I woke up at 4 a.m. in Cincinnati to board a flight at 6 a.m. to fly back to Miami and land at 9 a.m. to then jump in my friend's car and get to the Miami Beach Convention Center by 10 a.m. to do this interview after being at a wedding the night before. You know what I'm talking about. So the CBD oil has really kind of just helped take off the stress there. Use my code Chris15 for 15% off your order at greenroadsworld.com. Chris15 for 15% off. The CVV show also brought to you by the microphone that I'm speaking into right now, the headphones that I'm wearing as well from Samson Technologies. They've really helped me get my podcast off the ground, and you can go to samsontech.com to check out their full lineup. And speaking of checking things out, please, right now, check out my very inspiring chat with Brandon Cutler. Thank you for making the time to do this.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you're usually often on the other side of the camera too.
Yeah. On the Bucks, I was on the other side.
Yeah, and not everybody knows this, that you're like one of the main people shooting stuff on Being the Elite.
Yeah. I counted. I did that actually on the firefight behind the scenes one. I counted how many shots there were. There was like 20 something, and I think 18 or 19 of those shots were filmed by me.
Oh, wow.
I was just curious of like, I'd watch the episode and I'd be like, oh, I shot that. Oh, yeah. I shot that too. I shot that also. That one I didn't shoot though. And I was like, I wonder how many shots I would do in a normal episode. So I counted that one. But I'm like, oh yeah. So it's like, you know, 75% of stuff like that. It's the Bucks' creative ideas, but then they'll task me to be like, oh, get this shot for us kind of a thing. Yeah, and I'll just carry it out for them.
If we take it back to the beginning, how did this even start for you, getting to know the Young Bucks and, you know, now getting to travel around with them?
Yeah, we grew up together in the same town, and they were the kids with the backyard ring. And so, like, you know, just being – I think I met them when I was 11 or 12 or something. And so just hearing that in our town of like, oh, they have a ring in their backyard. You know, they're the stars in the city. And
yeah,
so
of course.
That's how we met. And like, you know, our love of wrestling just like, you know, kept us friends for all these years and stuff. But like getting to help with the behind the scenes with being the Elite and stuff was just always hanging out with them. Like if we'd be on a show or something, or like if I was like, okay, I just tag along with you guys and like just hang out, because they're always so busy. We don't get to hang out outside of wrestling. So, like, that's kind of an excuse for us to hang out. It's like, let me just go to you guys' show with you, and then, like, I'll just help with whatever you need help with.
Yeah.
And then it would usually just be that of, like, oh, you guys need that shot? Here, I'll film it for you or something. Which, you know, a lot of times would be Flip back before when they were in ROH.
Yeah.
It'd be Flip Gordon doing that for them kind of a thing. So it was, like, now that they're out of ROH, like, I just kind of took Flip's, like, behind-the-scenes shot.
Now that they're out of ROH and, you know, obviously making good money with AEW, are you worried they're going to bring in a production crew?
Not necessarily to replace me at all or anything.
Not to replace you, but like
on the weekly TV, it's going to be a whole production crew kind of a thing.
Sure, but being the Elite could be shot with like, you know, Canon, you know, 7Ds and like edited by, you know,
all stuff that I'll never be familiar with. As much as ever since I got this job, I've been flooded with like, oh, you guys should switch to this now. You guys should get this
or this
is a cool thing. And I'm like, I don't think I'll ever learn that. I think like the charm of being the Elite is that it's shot on a cell phone, honestly.
Yeah.
Like that's what is nice. And then it's so convenient too, because I mean, we'll do a weekend like loop or something, and like Nick's editing it on that tour, and he wants to have it up Monday morning, like California time, like 10 o'clock California time. And so like that means we need to get all that content we shot to Nick. And so when it's on these high def cameras or anything, any shots we do happen to get with one of those, like Nick hates it. It's like, oh, it takes so long to upload or download or.
Yep.
So it's the ease of the phone is what makes this a weekly show, honestly.
That's why
we can crank it out.
It's the exact same reason that I shoot on an iPhone.
Yeah, I actually got a behind-the-scenes shot of your guys' setup, too.
Don't tell anyone. Honestly, the reason that I shoot on the iPhone is because most cameras won't allow you to shoot for 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes.
Yeah,
like they'll shut off.
Insane amount of memory.
Oh, my God. you know, I can take this off my phone. This interview will be 3, 4, 5 gigabytes.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah.
If this was shot on one of those other cameras... Spend all day trying to get it off of there.
And that's what I think people don't see is the, like, guys, this needs to just be easy and accessible, and that's why it can get pumped out weekly. Because if it was the other way, it's already, like, somewhat stressful of, like, almost every week Nick's like, I don't know if I'm going to edit this in time. Like, I might just have to do it, like, Monday night upload or Tuesday. He says that more often than not. And we're always like, well, that's fine. Like, you know, we don't have any, like, it's not like we're some corporate head is like, you need that out on Monday or something. It's more just our, like, commitment of, like, we want it out by Monday. It's always been Monday. And, like, I always try and assure him, like, it's fine if it comes out on Tuesday 1 week. And he's like, no, I need it Monday. Like, even if a lot of times he's, like, at the airport, if they don't have good Wi-Fi, he's like, I have to upload it before we even go to the airport then. Like, I have to upload it at the hotel. And then, like, at the airport, I could just switch it to public or something. It's a lot of that.
Oh.
Where there's so much of, like, guys, if we filmed on these expensive cameras, it would be like a once-a-month episode then, because it would be like, God, that just was agonizing to upload.
I feel all this pain as a fellow YouTuber. I feel it all.
Yeah.
Does Nick not realize someone else could edit this?
Well, he's talked about it of like, oh, man, like eventually maybe I'll have to just like offload it to someone else of like maybe it is we get like a camera crew and we just tell them what we want shot or like they get the shots or something. Like, that's still, like, maybe something that they got on the table, especially if we go to TV and they got to write weekly TV and then maybe weekly BTE.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, I don't want to shoot it. That's where I kind of come in and help, like, knock out all those things of, like, I'll have a list of shots we want to get over the weekend and I'll just try and get them all. And not,
yeah.
Like, because they got enough that they're worrying about.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of times like that. And I can imagine maybe it might become, like, oh, just give it to that production team. Let them go shoot all these shots or something. Like, maybe I'll just help direct everyone or something. But... It's possible, but, like, I feel like the charm is that it's shot with a phone. Like, if we had those big cameras, we can't do like these airport shots or like while we're driving like when we get a bent, we're like, oh, we have the time right now. Let's just shoot it.
Yeah.
Oh, but the production team's not here. We got to wait for them to cut. Like, right? Like, it's what it is because it's stayed how it is. It's not, we can't really change a lot of that without it, because then it'd lose its touch. It'd lose its feel. If we had like those nice shots like on Road to that series, it would be like, oh, well, this is just that then. And it won't feel like, oh, no, it's being the elite. It's like, you know, they're at a diner and they could just be goofs for a minute and have a little montage of us doing something dumb. Yeah, that's what it is we need the cell phone to just pop out and just capture this moment real quick.
And that's the it's the crazy thing about the world we live in now. Yeah. Even 10 years ago, we couldn't have done this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, I grew up in, if I wanted my parents to, like, tape my hockey game or, like, my school concert, like, we had to borrow the neighbor's camcorder.
It was all on. I've seen, back when we did all that backyarding, we've gone through it all where it was you actually put a full-on VHS in the camcorder. Yeah. Then they made the micro ones that you couldn't put those in there. But then you
have
to put those into the adapter, so then you could put it in your VCR. All of it, the CDs when they came out, those discs and stuff. We've gone through kind of all those different camera like timelines. And then now it's just all on a cell phone. That it's
crazy.
And it's like 4K quality too.
What's your official title with AEW?
So I have two. Just as a talent, like, you know, all the other wrestlers, and then the official other one is the executive producer of content.
That's a very fancy title.
Sounds amazing, right?
Yeah. Do you have a business card?
No, but it sounds like anything with executive in it is immediately. Immediately, I'm like the head of something kind of a thing. But like, I've heard that, you know, in a lot of other film things of like, oh, producer of content, or like if you're on a show, it really just means like you make content, you make some products kind of a thing. And so that's all it is it's exactly like I was saying, is like they'll task me with something to shoot. I just go shoot it kind of a thing. Like, I'm producing that kind of a thing. I'm making that happen.
Are you also create, like, are you the one coming up with the ideas sometimes too?
It's most of the time it's they'll have the big grand idea and then I just help fine tune it or mold it or build on it kind of a thing. I haven't had too many where it's just straight from my head, and then like I've had a couple where it's like from my head and then it's like, oh, they liked it, like let's run with that kind of thing. I more like it how it's they got enough creative heads going. Like, I don't want to make it too many cooks in the kitchen, so I kind of know my place of like, hey, just step back, let them come up with stuff, and just help them with it, build on it, you know, perfect the way somebody says something of like, oh, they want to get that across. What if he says it that, because it also ties into the last week we did too. So I'll just help like fine tune everything is usually what
I'm doing. But it's July as we, you know, put this up right now.
Yeah.
TV's coming, you know, in the next couple months. Things could get really busy.
Yeah.
Your plate could start to get very full with tasks.
Oh, I could see that easily, because just even at Fighter Fest, with how insanely busy they were, there happened to be chalkboards in all the dressing rooms. And so in their chalkboard, in their dressing room, in the EVP's one, I just wrote all the stuff they wanted me to shoot on there. And as I'd shoot it, I'd come back into the room and cross it out and then go to get, like, you know, whenever I could get somebody else for this shot, I'd go to get that. So I could easily see like that becoming like a thing of not necessarily all just having a list like that, but I have it even on my phone of like stuff to get shot that we've talked about beforehand. And then like during the weekend, Matt will say, hey, add this to your list, like get this shot with this person. And so I'll add that and I'll be like, okay, I'll get that with this person.
Yeah.
So I could see that easily becoming on TV of like, they'll have so much that they'll probably give me a list of like, hey, we got this stuff. Or like, it might be as simple as like, we need an SCU bit. Just put that in your list of like, we need something with them. Like, it's not even fleshed out. And then I'll go up to them and be like, all right, what do you guys kind of want to do? Like, we definitely need an SCU bit. And then, like, it'll just be – it's usually collaborative is the nice thing of, like, even if it isn't the heads coming up with it, it'll be that of, like, we just want to incorporate this person this week. I'll go up to them and be like, what do you guys want to, like, kind of do? Or, like, or they had this idea that they want you guys to do, like, a reunion SCU bit or something like that again because you guys haven't done one in a while. And then that's all them that comes up with it. It's not like we're feeding them any of that. It's like, we just want you guys to do that again kind of a thing. And then – That's all their brainchild after that kind of a thing. And that's that raw creativeness of like that we all have as wrestlers. That's what's nice, is I think a lot of the guys feel fulfilled when they get to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Pretty fair to say that being the Elites changed your life.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. my life, my wife's life, my kids' life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane thinking about that.
I mean, when you first started shooting videos on your cell phone for being the Elite, how long ago was that?
That was probably around All In, because I remember when they first announced that they were going to be doing all that, I just offered my service of like, I'll fly myself out there for you guys and just help in any way you guys need it, just as a friend, and I just was like, and I just want to be there for the live event. Like, how awesome would that be to see live, like, history making event?
Yeah,
I kind of want to just also selfishly, I just want to be there.
Yeah,
but like, I'll help you guys with anything you need. And I didn't even know what that meant at the time. I was like, but, you know, stuff will come up that they just need somebody. And then, like, that weekend, it was stuff like that of, oh, film this, or, like, oh, we're trying to get all the talent to meet at the hotel. Can you just go down? Because it was one of the hotels where you need, like, keys to get up to a certain level and stuff. Sure. So I was like, can you just go down and retrieve that guy, bring him up for us? It was just, like, an errand boy of, like, helping in any way I could. And, like, it didn't go unappreciated. Like, they noticed stuff like that, which is great. That, like, those are the ones that are in charge, is that they notice, like, how hard some people will work, even if it's these small little, like, a, you know, a coffee runner type job. And then it would just grow more and more with each of their the things they would do. Or, like, when they're at home, they're like, hey, we're going to just film this bit at our pool. You want to come hang out and have a pool party? And then, like, and then you can just help us film this bit. I was like, all right. It'd be, like, a lot of that stuff. So, like, that episode when they were giving me the contract, they set me up with that again of, like, hey, we just need to shoot some bits for, like, AAA. Do you want to come over and film? And in my mind, I was like, well, Dana's there. Like, if they're filming a 30-second bit, she doesn't want to hold the camera. But yeah. I was like, oh, I'm more than happy to. Like, and I get to just go hang out with you guys. Cool. And then, of course, when I get there, it becomes that whole situation that they're offering me a contract.
Yeah, and then we're all crying.
Yeah,
jeez.
Right?
Wow. That,
it was insane how many people at StarCast 2 would come up to me saying, they're like, I didn't even know who you were, but, like, I cried from that, and I looked you up ever since then. And I'm like, man, BTE has a huge, like, power among it. That was the first time I experienced how much of a reach they have in the wrestling community.
Well, BTE has obviously a ton of power. YouTube has a ton of power.
Yeah.
The pro wrestling world has a ton of power. Like, that, the crazy thing is wrestling brings us all together.
It does, yeah. It's cool because, I mean, it's like we all grew up watching that certain style of, like, you know, the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression Era. And, like, we all loved it then. We were all super fans. And I feel like this is kind of like a resurgence of that, of, like, oh, yeah, like, you know. Because in those eras, I remember it was, like, everyone watched it, even if you didn't want to admit that you watched wrestling. And I feel like right now wrestling's at a point where people are kind of embarrassed to even, like, tell if their friends aren't into wrestling. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, I know that stuff or something.
No, it's I used to watch that.
Yeah. That's just probably the best quote is that.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm looking forward to it. It's getting to where it's, like, it's cool again. It's in pop culture. Like, we're at a convention where people are coming up. Like, that's when you know it's starting to get, like, oh, man, it's popular and cool again to say, like, oh, I did watch that. I've seen it, like, kind of a thing, yeah.
Who were the people that you loved as wrestlers growing up?
My top two were Sting and DDP. I was
oh, you were WCW
side,
yeah,
growing up.
And Sting might be returning. I don't know what these rumors are. Maybe it's just a video
game
rumor. I love
Sting, but, like, I mean, after that other one, I'm like, please, no. Don't do it to him.
Maybe it's just a 2K, you know, rumor. I don't know.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
So you grew up with the Young Bucks, and they were obviously wrestling fans. Who did Matt and Nick love, and, you know, versus who you loved?
I mean, when we started getting together, it was more, I think, the beginning of, like, that Ruthless Aggression era more so, because it was, like, in, like, 2000 or 2001-ish.
Okay.
And so, like, that was, I remember in those eras when we'd really be trying to, like, copy everyone in the backyard ring. It was when somebody said it was, like, the SmackDown 5 or, like, the Big 5 in SmackDown. It was, like, Edge and Booker T and Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
Where they weren't the main event guys, but they were, like, oh, they're going to have a good match. Any match they're in, they're going to have a good match. Like, RVD and those types. And so it was a lot of those that we would all, like, bond together and be like, oh, that was a great move he did there. Or, look at how they did that sequence. And we'd rewatch it and stuff. Or we'd go back and watch, like, old ECW stuff with, like, Super Crazy and stuff. And, like, that's what we kind of, like, we loved that style. So, as I mean, you see in a Young Buck match, like, you can definitely tell the style that they picked up from,
yeah
in those eras.
Do you have a favorite all-time match?
Honestly, probably the Young Bucks versus Golden Lovers when they did that whole tag angle. That, I got so emotionally involved. Like, I was getting a little teary-eyed during it. And, like, I always say that was probably the best match because it had so many aspects to it. It was great physically. Like, the Young Bucks matches are always going to be great, like, physically of what they can do and stuff and, like, you know, their falsies and all that. But then, like, the emotional stuff behind it, because that was the time that Matt had the whole back going on, so they were utilizing that a lot. And, you know, Matt's selling was amazing in that, where he was, like, you know, selling to the point of tears and stuff. And Kenny was the conflicted one in the middle. Like, that had so much to it that I was like, oh, my God, that might be one of the best overall. Like, if you have to, like, you know, check off, like, oh, it had emotion. It had great falsies. It had great athleticism.
Yeah.
Like, it had everything to it. And, it, you know, it had hype. It wasn't just, like, a one-off random, like, oh, this will just be a great dream match. Like, they've built it up on their series and stuff. So I'm like, I think that was kind of one of the best matches I've ever seen. Like, you know, when you look at the overall build to it and everything.
Do you have a favorite match of your own that you were in?
Recently, I mean, I kind of look at my career as two different things. Of when I was a tag team with my brother 10 years ago or so in PWG, and then now that I've been a singles person these last 2 years. So my favorite match now that I've had up to date is with Tyler Bateman that we had on Championship Hollywood. I feel like we really like told a great story with that. And then probably back in the day, it was obviously something with the Young Bucks. It was probably top three favorite matches, or probably all three with the Young Bucks in different times. Because we had, like, with PWG, we had, like, DDT4 tournament matches with them. And I know one or two of them were, I think, my top two. And then we had another match with them that's, like, one of the popular ones on YouTube. It was one of our last, like, HRW shows with them. And, like, me and my brother in blue trunks. And that's probably one of my top favorite matches, too, back then in the tag days. And it's, I mean, anyone could have a good match with the Young Bucks, but then it's when you've trained with them and we're doing stuff that we never do with anyone else. Like, that's why it makes it special to me, is like, you know, we did stuff that the Bucks have still today never have done with anyone else. Cause it's like, wow. You know, when you have that level of trust with someone, you know, we're doing things where it's like, oh man, that was really cool. I hope to ever get back into the ring with them again to maybe try some of that stuff again or try completely new stuff.
Yeah.
I get jealous of Ray Phoenix that he's, every time he's doing something crazy and new with them, I'm like, oh man, like I remember when that was like kind of me and my brother, where it'd be usually Nick was the Ray Phoenix in the match of like doing something crazy and new, that it was like, oh yeah, well it's because he trusts us to like base him on that or something. So like I see that and I'm like, oh man, what it is to like, you know, have a great match like that. And like, you know, that's what I kind of do in my singles matches now, is I'm always trying to do something new rather than like, I'll do, you know, signature moves and whatnot, but I'm always trying to do something new that I'm afraid of like, whether if it's just a moonsault or something off the top, where I'm like, I mean, I'm not comfortable doing it, but I feel like as like a creative person, I just need to do something to just get out of my comfort zone until I become comfortable with it.
Well, as a tag team wrestler yourself, how can you explain what is it about the Young Bucks that make them so good?
They just know like the essence of what it is to like tag wrestling. Like in a match, they utilize everything that there is of like, you know, if it's just like all the bodies that they could do, they'll utilize like, you know, as much as they get criticized for it, they do utilize like sometimes the tag format of like, you know, getting in and out of the ring and stuff. They just know what it is to make a tag match, especially in tag matches. The falsies are going to be way different than a singles match.
Yeah.
And they've, I think, perfected that of like when it's believable that it's like you need to take out the partner and then hit something on the other guy to make it believable. You can't just do a big move and then like, oh, well, the other guy's just laying over there. You didn't touch him. Like they understand all those little bits it is to put something together where it makes it believable of like we'd even hit like our top move. But it's in such a believable way that we've wrapped this up that we can finish it and people would be happy. And then, no, it's a kick out or, like, it's a save or something. So, like, they just know. And they've been doing it for the longest of anyone.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it well the longest of anyone. And so, like, they just have all the tricks and stuff, like, down. They just it's all in their head.
Well, take me back to the emotional moment that everyone, you know, asks about him being the Elite. The moment that choked me up. Did you realize what was happening when you were reading those words?
No. So when I was reading it, I asked him ahead of time, like, oh, so does everyone got, like, these voiceovers? Or is, like, everyone doing it? And Matt, like, wouldn't give me a straight answer. He's like, oh, yeah, everybody's got something different. And I'm like, okay, well, like, what are other people saying? Like, is it something heavily gimmick? Or is it all, we're all saying, I'll be the champion, I'll be the champion, I'll be the champion. And it, like, it's just going to be a huge montage. He's like, we got it. I was like, oh, okay. And so he sat me on the couch, and I kept wondering. I'm like, they haven't even told me what I'm going to say, Nick. And Nick's all right, let me get the camera ready. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm saying. And Matt hands me the paper. I'm like, all right, I guess it's one of those where they just want your straight read of it. Like, they want the actual emotion. So I was like, all right, they don't want it to seem like it's scripted or something. So I was like, and I asked too, I was like, so you're just getting audio, right? Like, I don't need to look good or anything. And Nick's all, nah. And then the way he was kind of pointing the camera at me, I was like, whatever. Because I, like, you know, I just felt like I looked like crap. I was like, whatever, if it's just audio. And so I'm reading it, and I'm like, in my head as I'm reading this, I'm like, this is so white meat baby face. Like, it's going to look so dry. It's going to be, I'm the champion, or, you know, it's going to come out like that. So that's what's going through my head as I'm reading this. And then it gets to the part where it says, like, and I took a 7-year break. And I started laughing because I was like, how's that supposed to, like, get me over? Of like, I've been gone for 7 years. And so I chuckled. And I was like, all right, let me restart it. And I started just trying to reread it again to be like, I don't know how I'm going to make this sound good. And I think Matt was thinking I'm reading ahead to the part, you know, where they give it away. And I'm just trying to reread it of like, I got to deliver this way better because this is like, this is awful. And then so Matt's like, no, like read it. And I was like, oh God, they really just want me to just straight read this. So then I go through it a second time and read it all the way through. And that's where I get to that line where I just break down because up until that point, my wife and I were always talking about like, oh, maybe when they get to TV in October, maybe they'll throw me a contract or something. Or it'll be often enough that even if I'm just doing it on like a weekly basis, I'll be getting money weekly. Because we were financially, we were doing okay, like because she makes gear and stuff.
Yeah.
So we were doing okay. We were getting by, but like we weren't like thriving kind of a thing. And so we were always like counting down until like October where it'll be like, okay, that'll be where we'll start to make money. We live in a rinky dink, like 900 square foot house with our family of four with two bedrooms and one bathroom. So we're like, we're kind of like, oh, we need to get out of here. And she's got her work environment. She's sewing in our whole, in our living room. Our entire space is like her sewing area. So for us, it's like October can't come soon enough kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking like, and I'm a nobody in wrestling in all honesty, like they're going to, they, if they're going to give contracts to people to lock them down from going other places, I'm not going anywhere. Like, you know, nobody's making me other offers or anything. So like, and they know I'm loyal to them. Even if I got an offer, I'd just say, hey guys, they gave me an offer, and then they'd maybe give me an offer or something. So like that was going through my head that whole time of like, all right, we just got to get to October. And then that they dropped that right there before they even announced the TV. They made that a big point too. That Matt was like, we want to get you before we even announce TV because we know we're going to get flooded with people coming to us now that they'll realize like this is legit, like, you know, we got TNT kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So that meant a lot to me too of like, oh my God, like you guys are giving money to me, like for sure, like locking me down in a contract when you have so many other people that like that might go somewhere or that you need to save that money to like bring someone else in. And so that meant the world to me that they were that kind, and that like I said, they appreciate the work that I was doing for them to that level where they're like, no, like we want to reward good work. It's not just like name value. Like we want to, like you've been doing great by us. You've been with us since the beginning of this thing, since the inception of it. Like, and you've been unwavering. Like you've been helping us with everything. So like we want to show that that goes reward it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is why you guys are like the greatest people in the world to me. Cause like, you know, a person that doesn't ever need a contract, like even ever, because I'm just so loyal to them. And they went out of their way to make sure I got one like that. And that's where I broke down because it like all that was flooding into my head. And then just knowing my wife and I will be able to move out of that house soon and like our lives will be changed. Like my kids will grow up in like a situation they should be given kind of a thing.
It's a touching situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you doing to get by before?
Before, in the years that I wasn't a wrestler, I was a personal trainer.
Okay.
And so that was, we were making about the same money that my wife was making
Like in the last 6 months, what were you doing for
it was just her making gear.
Oh.
And then I was just being an independent wrestler of like getting, you know, shots here and there of like some shows and stuff. But it was heavy relying on her making gear and stuff. Cause she'd be making the Bucks gear, SCU's gear. Cody would reach out for a jacket or two here and there. So she was just like doing these projects and like, I mean, the Bucks get gear like every show. So that was one of our heavy, like, all right, well, we can rely on that kind of a thing.
And is she now under contract?
Not necessarily and under contract. Cause
but they're not going elsewhere.
Obviously. Yeah. And she's at this point, she's got so many requests and like she can't do really any of them other than the Bucks because the Bucks get like new gear every show. So it's like usually the Bucks and then SCU's been great too, that they constantly want some like whatever their stuff is, just do it in this color or something. So they don't necessarily change up their whole look like the Bucks will usually do, but they'll just want their same stuff, but just another color scheme or something. So those two have been like, given her so much work that she can't take on much else work other than that. And then like when Cody wants a jacket, like how he had it, at Double or Nothing, huge like Prince jacket.
Yeah, he looked like Gaston.
Yeah, that's what we were all like saying is either that or like Beast. My daughter, as soon as she was done making it and I tried it on, my daughter was like, I want to dance with Beast. And it hit us. We were like, oh, this is really Beast. I was like, all right, well, we can't say anything because then that everyone will see that and they won't see anything
That's
else.
That's right. I've got it wrong. Gaston's the red one.
The red,
one.
Yeah.
He showed me, actually, a couple days before Double or Nothing. I interviewed Cody in the hotel room, and he showed me. I'm like, that's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I guess it is.
Same. We were trying to, like, stray away from that, too. Like, no. But when he comes out and in all the photos he's had, I'm like, he looks like a damn prince. He looks so cool in it. That I'm like, it doesn't, when he's wearing it with the blonde hair and everything, it doesn't look like Beast. It just looks like he's royal. He's royalty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you getting over with that being the elite segment really translated to Double or Nothing. Your pop was huge.
Yeah, I did not expect that. Like when we were trying to figure out like the order of like to walk out in, I was like, all we knew is like, well, MJF has to come out last. Like, you know, he we can't start it with him walking out and everyone, boo. And then I was like, and then we can't have him in the middle because then like whoever follows him is just going to get drowned out. And yeah. So we're like, all right, well, we know him in the back. And then we're like, maybe we should just like alternate a couple faces or heels or whoever. And I was going to let Dustin Thomas walk out because I was like, dude, if you want to go out first, like go for it. Like, and then like I think like 20 seconds before we were all going to go out, he's like, I don't want to go out first. And like I understood that. That's why I was also like letting him go because I was like, I don't want to go out first. Like, because you know we're kind of coming out with no music. The show hasn't like officially started. It's just gonna be, hey guys, like, all right, we're gonna start this now. And so I understood when he was like, I don't want to do that. And so I was like, I completely like sympathize with that. So I was like, all right, I'll take the bullet. I thought like in my mind, I was like, I'm taking the bullet. I'll go out first and get that awkward like, oh, I guess we're starting. Like, you know, no music's going on, nothing. It's just guys are starting to walk out. And so, but when I walked out and I was looking out, I was like, oh my God, this is a huge crowd. Like, this is awesome. And then they all were starting to pop. I was like, oh yeah. Like, oh my God. Like it started just like, you know, taking your breath away and stuff. And then you want to just live in that moment forever. And I'm like, oh no, no, everybody else is coming out too. Like, keep walking, keep walking.
That crowd was so ready to like just explode.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No matter anything could have happened in that moment, the crowd would have gone crazy.
Yeah.
Not to take anything away from you. I'm just saying like that crowd was so hot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. It's not necessarily, it was all just me of coming out of like, oh yeah, you guys all know I made you all cry. Like it was like, that's why I was like also gonna let him like go out and just like, yeah, just get the first pop, dude, like, you know, and like kind of take one for us all, like, you know, get that, like, you know, awkwardly come out kind of a thing. And so that's where I felt like I was more like, all right, I'll like bite the bullet and go out. And then it just turned into that pleasant surprise where I was like, oh. And then afterwards I realized like, oh man, I was the first one to like walk down a ramp kind of a thing, or like, you know, I can have that as like a bragging right. And I'm like, oh man, that's actually kind of cool to reflect on, of like, I was the first to walk, like, you know, we all walk in the ramp before the show and stuff, but I'm like, yeah, that was the first, like, all right, the show's starting, official person to come out. So I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Jungle Boy told me he was supposed to have a spot with you.
Yeah.
But Billy Gunn, like, sprinted out and just started hitting you.
That match was, oh, man, that was a train wreck to try and put together.
I bet.
Yeah. All of us that are in the match are honestly not really happy with the match, if I'm being honest. But, I mean, I try and look at it objectively of, like, all right, well, like, look at it what was presented. And, like, that, you know, it's good kind of a thing. But yeah,
your
it
voice kind of went up there. It was good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you obviously being on the inside of it, just knowing like how hard it was to get all of that and how much was like missed because of like there was just too much made.
Yeah.
That it was stuff like that where it was like Jungle Boy wasn't the only one. It was like Private Party had another thing. They were going to do their little Inside Out Tornado DDT thing. They never got to do that. I was supposed to take that from them kind of a thing. And I remember feeling like, damn it, like I was really wanting to take that from him, and I wanted them to get that shine in that moment.
Jimmy now, Havoc almost missed his spot with the cigarette being stapled to
Janela's head. It's because there's so much going on at once usually that it was like, ah, oh, man, they're like, they're not going to get this, or like this will be going on the same time as that, or like, yeah, Jungle Boy's going to run out to give me that, and then just something else like, oh, like I guess Billy Gunn might have just like, oh, there's a free body, just start stomping to like do something, so it's not the run out and just like grab a headlock or something.
Yeah.
So I understood on both ends, but I was like, ah, oh, yeah, it's just because there's so much going on.
Well, now that you have the contract, have you guys been able to move out of the small place?
Not yet, because even in California, it's always like you gotta have the work for 2 years kind of a thing before you can buy. And then, so we are looking for places to rent at the moment.
Buying in California is not cheap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like your money does not go very far there.
Not really. Especially, I mean, in the main cities in California, yeah. But we live off in like a little like desert at the moment.
What's the name of the city you're in?
Hesperia. And so from
that sounds made up,
right? Yeah. It's halfway on the way to Vegas. So that's also where it's like, we're still considered Southern California, but like, you know, it's a stretch to say that.
Oh, so you're close to Nevada.
Yeah. Okay. Somewhere. It's like to get to Vegas is like a 2.5-3 hour drive.
Basically, you're in the desert.
Yeah, exactly. It's in the desert. So there you get a lot more bang for your buck.
Okay, that's good. Is that the same city the Bucks live in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We all grew up in Rancho, and then like it's just too, like you're saying, it's way too much to try and live out there. So like we all kind of moved elsewhere.
Yeah, one of my friends just bought a house in Hollywood, and he told me how much he spent on it, and I'm like, and you got this?
Yeah.
The house is fine, but you spent
like,
that
even,
kind of,
even
you
the
have
city,
a mansion anywhere
even
else.
Like the main city closest to us, Rancho Cucamonga in like Ontario, that's like a 45-minute drive from us. I'll have friends that are renting, and they're paying like 1.5 times what I'm paying, wow. And they have a one bedroom, one bathroom like apartment with like, you know, maybe 600 square feet or something.
Wow.
I'm like, man, like I'm at least renting a house that's, you know, 900 square feet, and like, you know, when we move to a bigger house, it's like, it's less than sometimes less than $1 per square foot, where like wow. other places, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's where it's like we still get to claim we live in California, and like
yes.
who cares about the little bit more of a drive to get to all the luxuries of Disneyland and the beach and all that? Because yeah. it's like when you're monthly paying a lot less and getting a lot more, who cares?
Yeah. Are you still hoping to work more matches in AEW?
I definitely. Oh, well, I mean, obviously, yeah. Well, we all want to like express ourselves creatively like that.
Sure. It
yeah.
looks like they're, you know, building a storyline and being the elite with you.
Yeah. There's a couple
and
of
Sammy,
that.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's that kind of going on that I'm hoping to pay off, because that'd be awesome. He's someone that I've always wanted to wrestle.
The Bucks told me in the interview, which will probably actually get posted after this interview, that everything on being the elite has some sort of payoff.
That is true.
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
And I definitely try and keep track of that for them, too, of like, oh, we haven't done this yet. We need to get that before this pay-per-view, because that's the thing that needs to get to that. So we're always thinking as a hive mind of, like, we don't want to leave stuff like the other companies of, like, yeah, we did that, and then it never went anywhere kind of a thing. Or we just moved away from it. Well, at least try and write it off in a way where it's not just going to be, like, yeah, we just dipped out on it. Like, you know, it wasn't holding up well, so, like, you never saw it again. Like, we try and, like, at least – because it's weekly, too, so there's no reason not to do something where it's, like, we have the time. Like, you know,
yeah.
weekly is really quick. Like, you know, like how Matt was saying, you can build stuff small for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to just, like, build something up for 2 weeks and then have a payoff. Like, a lot of their stuff before All In was built up for months before it was paid off at All In.
And your episodes don't need a certain length.
Yeah.
You know, if you want this week's episode to be a little bit shorter – and next week's to be a little bit longer, you don't have a network going, hey, this needs to be 22 minutes.
Yeah, on the dot or
yes,
something.
That's
or like
exactly
you need to
how
have
it
these
works in TV.
Commercials, yes. Which that's something we're trying to keep in mind, too, of when we get to TV, of like, we're going to have to be riding around commercials and stuff and not have wrestling during commercials. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's a real thing.
Yeah, it's insane to think of that. I'm like, I get that, like, oh, we're trying to be the sports style. And like, yeah, no sport has any, you know, entertainment or whatever going on during the commercial, but I'm like, all right, wrestling is different in that sense. Like, you could have boring part of the match going on during that. And because I'll see how, like, WWE will do some of that. And I'm like, so they had these guys come out for their entrance. Then they'll go to commercial. They'll come back and do a backstage promo. Then they go back to the ring where these guys have been standing for the last 10 minutes for the live audience. And then they will start to wrestle. And then it'll be for, like, 3 minutes and go to another commercial. I don't get how that was the way they thought of, like, running that. I'm like... or just have a 7-minute match within that 7-minute time you have. But I'm like,
And this was not the case when we were watching in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
I don't remember matches going to commercial.
I don't either. I remember WCW did it, but they would do it at the wrong parts that you'd be like, what the hell? He just was about to die. Like, you cut as he was running. So, like, that was the extreme way not to do it. But yeah,
but now it's way too obvious. It's like they're on the outside and they're like, oh, as Raw continues on, it's like, well, nothing's going to happen for the next 3 minutes.
Yeah. Or yeah, and it's literally, they don't even go inside the ring again until they come back. So then I get like the FOMO of I don't want to miss anything that they've done or something. But it's like, that's a part of wrestling you got to accept. Like, there's going to be some stuff that happens during it. Or like I said, if you have a 7-minute segment before you go to commercial, maybe fit the whole entrances and match in that 7-minute segment, and then when you go to commercial and come back, have a whole new segment.
Well, you know why this is different now? Because of this wrestling company called All Elite Wrestling.
Right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is me saying this before we even have TV and all that experience. For all I know, when we start TV, we could be hit with all that where it's like, oh, it can't be what I'm saying right now. That doesn't work. That doesn't fly for whatever reason. Like, that's beyond my knowledge at this point.
I work in television, and a lot of it's with hitting the quarter markers.
Yeah.
So you want to hit your breaks at like 13-ish so that you can come back afterwards or before that to hit both quarter hours with the ratings. That might actually be a thing you guys have to do.
Yeah, yeah. And we're getting at least a game plan to prepare for all that.
And you work with people who know all this stuff.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. So and like how Matt's learned his way with like all the executive vice president, like we're going to learn our way, and I'm sure we're going to stumble on a lot of that stuff, and like we're going to get criticized for everything, you know, every wrong thing we might do in the beginning, but that's part of learning. And like, you know, I'm already prepared to not let it get to me, and like just like, yeah, well, we're, you know, that was going to happen. It was our first like TV, you know.
But it must be pretty exciting for you in on the ground floor. You're part of these changes that are being made that are affecting the industry as a whole.
Yeah, Yeah, it's pretty wild when you say it like that.
But that's true. Yeah. You know, like, I was at Double or Nothing. Obviously, you were there, too, and part of the show. I thought Raw that Monday was going to be, like, guns blazing, like, out the gate. Like, we're changing everything.
Right? I thought that, too, Monday morning. I didn't think about it at all because, like, since we did our pay-per-view on Saturday, like, I didn't think about it. And then Monday morning comes, I'm like, oh, WWE's, like, they've had a couple days. Like, they might fire back. They might, like, Cody did that throne thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe somebody will just mention it. Like, you know, especially on the Hall of Fame, the DX thing, where they like, mentioned us throughout it. They peppered us through it. So I was like, okay, they have no problem with, like, mentioning us or something. And I remember, like, I don't have cable. I'm one of those cable cutters. So, like, just on the internet and on Twitter and stuff, I'd be trying to find stuff about Raw. I remember people were like, it's like an hour and 12 minutes and still no wrestling matches. I was like, what are they doing? Like, we gave them, like, you know, we tried to be like, hey, we want to play ball or something. And then, like, they just, no, get that ball away.
But Fighter Fest, for some reason, really changed things.
Right,
because
yeah.
Because that Raw was going, you know, the smashing the set. That was Corey Graves swearing. That SmackDown was the middle finger. Like, something happened at Fighter Fest.
Yeah.
That was also the Bischoff and Heyman announcement.
And in between that time, wasn't there the whole thing where, like, somebody addressed, like, AEW is our competition and stuff like that? There was a lot that finally was, like, I think we were kind of getting in their heads a little bit on that kind of stuff, which I love because I'm like, yes, let's play ball. Like,
yes.
We want to, you know, not necessarily be competition, but it's like we want to at least show that we're aware of each other, because that's the worst thing is saying, like, they don't exist or, like, we refuse to mention them. It's like, like, you don't have to do, like, straight, like, destroy a throne every time, but it's like, yeah, just tease at something.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Being the Elite was always doing. Like, FTR was made on Being the Elite, and it was like, oh, yeah, it's because we're just poking fun at stuff. And, like, how I just even said of, like, the whole little commercial break thing. Like, it's just you want to poke fun and, like, just be aware of the elephants that are in the room and not try and be like, no, we can't address that. Like, because that's that whole thing of, like, you can't say this, like, you can't say that, and all the WWE guys that can't do interviews because it's, like, they're afraid of whatever they might say. I feel like we have that opposite attitude of, like, no, just embrace it. And, like, just, like, the fans know it. Don't treat the fans dumb and, like, don't try and, like, disservice them by saying, no, we don't want to touch on that. Like, just say something about it. Who cares? Like, it's not going to end. The AEW is not going to fold because, like, I talked about this stuff.
Yes. Rising tides lift all ships.
Yeah.
And, like, if you guys push WWE to be better, WWE is then going to push you guys to be better.
Yeah.
And then everybody else, Ring of Honor and Impact and New Japan and every indie, it's the best for everybody.
And then wrestling fans win overall.
And wrestlers win.
Great. Yeah.
Everybody
wins. That's what I was hoping for, is because they gave, I think at the end of that Raw, they gave, like, Ricochet and Cesaro, and they had a great match. I'm like, why didn't they start Raw with that? Like, that was, like, you have great performers. Like, use them. Let them show their talents, kind of a thing. Like, they have the best roster ever.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I'm not ever going to say the thing of, like, we have hands down best wrestling ever. No, like, we all have great wrestlers. Like, I will say Ricochet is, like, the best high flyer, probably, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I want to see him get used. I've never met him ever, but I've seen his work, and the guy deserves to, like, be used in the right light, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever company any of these guys are for, I'm just like, I want them to get used and, like, be on TV or, you know, a lot of people even in our company are with people in their company. And it's like, well, yeah, obviously, by extension, I want good things for them. Like, you know, like, of course I want Adam Cole to, like, do good. Like,
he's dead, actually.
That's true.
Yeah, that's just
a ghost. But it is, like, with me, it's like, if you're a friend of the Bucks, then by default, you're good in my eyes. Like, you're a friend of mine. And so, like, I've met Adam Cole a couple of times, but, like, never really had anything with him, but I wish him the best because, you know, he's friends with my friends. So I'm like, oh, yeah, of course I want to see him prosper.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
I love this idea from you and from a lot of other people I've talked to. It's like, why can't everybody win?
Right? Because we can. We can all win. The fans can win. The wrestlers can win. Like, there is a timeline that, like, the best timeline that we all win.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the path, like, we're trying to go down of, like, no, like, we can, like, WWE and AEW can exist together and we can all be happy, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, we can have fun poking at each other. It's not necessarily, like, oh, they did this, like, you know, oh, that was bad of them to do that, bad form or something. But it's, like, it's just, I just want to poke them and, like, yeah, poke me back, kind of a thing. Yeah.
So how excited are you for TV?
Oh, I'm super excited. I can't wait to go through that. It's nuts. It doesn't hit when I'm telling people of, like, oh, yeah, we'll be on TNT in October. Like, I feel like I say that to people to try and make it real to me, because, like, it still hasn't hit, really. I think it's going to be probably that first show we do, and, like any other time, when I see the arena beforehand, I'll be like, we got to do this again next week. Like, it's not just like being the elite bits where it's like, oh yeah, when we meet up, we'll write that or something, or like, we'll film that. It'll be like, we should probably have a game plan like a few weeks ahead of time on all these. And yeah,
like if you think you get recognized a lot now, or the Bucks get recognized a lot now,
right, yeah,
if we had the same conversation in a year from now,
yeah,
it's gonna be next level.
Yeah, because it's gonna be, we're on a public channel that anyone could just be flipping through and like, oh yeah, I saw that, or like, hey, aren't you with those wrestling guys, with those AEW guys? I'm like, yeah I'll be going. I can't go around conventions like I am, just like walking around looking at all the stuff unnoticed, like it might be like, oh, aren't you one of those guys? Yeah.
So, well, when you're wearing a shirt with your name on it.
That's true.
Sleeveless shirt, jacked up dude. I think people know, you know? Yeah.
Somewhat, yeah. That's like, what I wear these shirts at conventions, because I'm like, I want to know all the other D&D nerds that are here, kind of a thing. Like, that's what I do it for. That's why I made this shirt, is because I'm honestly like, I want to know any wrestling fans that are also D&D nerds, and like, I want to just like chat with them about like D&D and wrestling.
That's like the ultimate nerddom coming together.
Right,
I just made up that
just
word
some fandoms,
there.
Yeah, like that.
But it's not just fandom.
It is, yeah. To be D&D, and it is like, you gotta be a nerd to like play D&D and all that, but like, I love it. I embrace that. Like, I'm like, yeah, nerds could still be cool. It's not like nerd is like a derogatory term where it's like, oh,
anymore.
Yeah, you're a nerd. It's like, oh no, you could be cool and be a nerd. Like, what I love, I got a man crush on Joe Manganiello, that actor, because he is huge into D&D. And so that's where I'm like, granted, he's a good looking guy, and I always tell Luchasaurus he looks like him without the mask. And that's, but it is that he loves D&D, and I'm like, oh, that's the kind of celebrity I like, is like, you know, he's got all the money in the world, and like, he made a dungeon in his basement to play Dungeons and Dragons in. Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. You should make one for wrestling and then one for D&D.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, we might somewhat get a ring around where we live, just so we can. But again, if we're doing weekly TV, we'll always have access to a
that's
ring
right.
again. But I know the Bucks are always like, man, wasn't it great when we used to just own a ring and we could just fool around in it? So, like, there's been talks of, like, maybe we should just get a ring again for us.
Why not?
But, I mean, again, maybe once weekly TV is happening, we'll be like, what were we thinking? Like, we're at this ring every week, kind of a thing, so we'll see. But, yeah, I feel like I should run a D&D campaign in a ring at some point. I get a lot of people requesting that, of like, I hope there's a Being the Elite where you just try and run D&D with some of the wrestlers or something. I feel like that'd be hilarious, but I'm like, but I think a lot of the wrestlers will be like, wait, what is this? You guys, like, it would take a lot of explaining, and then it would finally be the sit down for like a 3 to 5 minute bit. And it's like, I just spent like a week explaining this to everybody, of like what it is they're doing, what would be a funny joke or something. So I'm like, oh man, that's gonna be a lot of work. I'm like, oh, maybe eventually.
Look, I'm super happy for everything you have going on right now.
Thank you.
I think that it's well deserved, and you're a great example of hard work pays off. And I feel like everyone should be able to take that from you.
Yeah. I try and bring that light to everybody, too, of like, because even that I left wrestling for 7 years, I try and tell everybody, like, even if you've left whatever it is, your passion is, because I left it because I got beat down by, like, life of, like, you can't make it in wrestling, because that was the era that, like, indie people didn't make it. And so I got, like, the whole beat down of life of, like, yeah, you just get a normal job. You got to, like, suck it up and be a real person in the world. But, like, I always had the dream of, like, oh, it'd be so cool to be, like, you know, make it in wrestling and provide my family with, like, money from wrestling. And so, like, I try and tell everybody, even if you've given up on your true passion for a while, you're still alive. You're still – your heart's still beating. Like, you could still go back to it. It's not like it's ever too late. So I try and instill that with everyone from my personal story of, like, you're still alive. It's not too late.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was great. Actually, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Bran Cutler.
There you go. Bran.
Yeah, just B-R-A-N.
Short
like
for Brandon.
Bran Stark.
Yeah. All right, thanks again.
Thank you.
So there you go. You can give Brandon a follow at Bran Cutler. You can give me a follow at Chris Van Vliet. Thank you to Brandon for taking the time to do this interview. Thank you to you for listening. And if you watch this interview on YouTube, or if you follow me on Instagram, you know that I'm doing a giveaway right now to win an 8x10 autographed by the Young Bucks, who are my next interview. That'll be dropping a little bit later this week. If you don't subscribe to me on YouTube, or you don't follow me on Instagram, well, now you're finding out about the contest right now for the first time. But those are actually two of the requirements to enter the contest, to follow me on Instagram and to subscribe on YouTube. So there you go. That's your chance to win that. They autographed it on camera on the YouTube video, so you know that it's legit. Big thanks to our sponsors, Green Roads. Use the code CHRIS15 to save 15% at greenroadsworld.com. Also, thank you to Samson Technologies.
head to samsontech.com to check out all of their audio equipment there. So we got a big lineup coming up in the next week or so. Fight for the Fallen happening in Jacksonville. Well, it's Monday as we're releasing this, so it's happening this weekend. I'll be heading up there. It's about a five-hour drive to Jacksonville from where I live. Very excited about it. If you're going to be there and you see me, please stop by. I'd love to say hello, and I just love talking about wrestling. So it'd be great to see you. It'd be great to talk about some wrestling. And if there's someone in particular that you think we should interview at Fight for the Fallen, drop me a line on Twitter or Instagram and let me know, and we will do our best to make that happen. Until then, keep those five-star reviews coming. Thank you for downloading this, and we will see you soon.